Lord, we come to your word knowing that it's a privilege to be in your presence. It's a privilege to be with your people. And we're just so grateful, God, that we can learn to experience and recognize the full measure of you working in and through us. Teach us more of the depth and breadth of how you want your church to grow, Lord Jesus. Thank you that we can pray in your name. Amen. We've been in Ephesians and continue to be. It's a book that I'm finding more and more things in it than I've probably been through Ephesians at least a couple hundred times during my lifetime. And this is a time that I've slowed down a little bit more and dug a little deeper, and I'm enjoying it. And God's showing me some things that I don't think I see when I go too fast. I know I've been across the country quite a few times, and when you're on the interstates, you don't see much. You see a lot of other cars and railings and bathrooms. And just kind of get from point A to point B, and the purpose is to get someplace. But as you're going along, sometimes it's good to enjoy some of the things that are along the way. And so if we have time, Kathy and I like to take the back roads, Highway 2. And you can slow down a little bit. And if you have a lot of time, you get out and you start walking a little bit. And just really digging in and enjoying what God's created for us. I didn't used to appreciate desert beauty. How many of you realize that there's beautiful life in the desert as well as there is here in the Northwest? I mean, I'm a Northwest boy born and raised and love it here, and this is God's country, but God also has found a way to demonstrate his life all around the country, all around the world, and every place we've gone. Even if there's absolutely, you look and everything you see is just sand and it doesn't look like anything could possibly live there, then a little lizard or a fox comes running across the path in front of you. And you wonder, how are they surviving here? And God's got a plan and he's got a way and he's got a way to build this church. And we don't always see what he's doing to do the work that he's doing. A lot of what we've been talking about here in Ephesians is the fact that God wants to dwell in his church. And if we can grasp that, I mean, not just the little local church, but the church universal, all believers, God wants to make us his dwelling place. He wants to reside in us and shine through us. And that's something that's hard to really understand. It's easy to think, you know, I can try harder and I can do my best and then I maybe will be okay. And I think a lot of people in the world are thinking, you know, if I just, you know, get enough good deeds to balance out the bad deeds, I'll make it into heaven, everything's going to be fine. But that's not what Scripture says. Scripture says that God wants to dwell in his people. He wants to embolden us to be his hands and his feet. If you think about when a lot of people, when you want to have a conversation about Jesus, they'll say, yeah, well, I can talk with you about the historic Jesus. Okay, well, that's a good starting point. Jesus was God that came to earth and he dwelt among us. And for 30 some years, he's walking among us, and that was the visible manifestation of God made flesh. And then he was put on the cross and he was buried and he rose again. And now the visible manifestation of Jesus is the church. If you want to see Jesus, we need to look at the church. Now, what does that mean? Because it's like, okay, just because there's a building and people going into it doesn't mean everybody in the building is in the church, right? The old concept of you can go into a garage, it doesn't make you a Ford Mustang. You can get into a McDonald's, it doesn't make you a French fry or hamburger. You can be in a church building and not be part of the church. The church is the people that God has called and predestined and made his own. And he's dwelling in us and through us. And it is something that should be visible. Here, Apostle Paul talks to the readers of this epistle, this letter, and tells them about the body concept. If you think of the body of Christ, and so, can you see a body? Now that, you know, we know that God is spirit and we can't see spirit. We can see the effects of spirit like you see the effects of wind. The wind can blow and you can definitely tell, okay, the wind just knocked that tree down. The wind just started spinning around in circles and lifted that house and took it over to the next county. I mean, whatever. You can tell the effects of the wind. But you can't see spirit so much. But we can see a body. Now, when Jesus Christ was here on earth, that's the body that we saw. And after that, when the book of Acts came and he starts saying, okay, I'm going to build my church. Holy Spirit comes. He's dwelling within his people. And the church is growing and growing and growing, and that has continued on to this day and will continue until he returns and calls us home. So if we want to understand the body of Christ, it's a visible part of the church. It's like, are we actually living as Christ? If we're not, if we're just a bunch of empty hypocrites wandering around, let's all fold up and go home, because this would be a waste of time. Last week the verse was talking about, you know, the contrast of, instead of being infants, like in verse 14, infants that are blown, just a wave comes along and just pushes you one direction or the other. You have somebody come up to you and they convince you of false doctrine just from their conversation. They can talk you into anything. If you don't have any foundation, if you don't have any true understanding of who God is and who you are, it's real easy to be swayed by others. But instead of being swayed by others, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of Him who is the head, that is Christ. Now that's the church universal. How are we going to grow to be the body of Christ? If he's our head, if he's the one calling the shots, if he's the one that's like any analogy or illustration, there's going to be a point where it falls apart. I think some people try to push illustrations too far and, you know, I don't want to go there, but the big picture here is God's in charge of his body. Like your head is kind of in charge of your body, right? You can tell yourself, lift your hand, take a step. Now sometimes our bodies don't want to cooperate. Stand up, you know, and it's like, well, I tried that. I've had the privilege of many years working in schools with special needs children. And some of them absolutely could not tell their body what to do. I'm thinking of one particular little girl, she was a quadriplegic. She could not move her arms or her legs. But she was a brilliant young lady. I mean, 4 years old at the time, and she was as smart as any other 4 year old. Can you imagine how frustrating that would be to have a mind that says, I want to do that. I see all these other friends of mine, they're walking and they're moving and they're able to talk without drooling and making contorted faces and just sounds. I want to do that. And I can't. Can you imagine how frustrated Jesus is with his church sometimes? Some of the things aren't connected properly. We're not living the life that he wants us to live. We're not demonstrating a visible body of Christ in the world today. As a universal church, that's got to grieve him a little bit. I remember this little girl, the look on her face when she knew exactly what she wanted and she didn't know how to communicate it. And part of my job as a teacher was to help her learn bridge languages and whatever else we could. And she was making some strides and some steps to be able to, you know, make choices with, you know, you show her two pictures, which thing do you want to play with next or whatever. Well, she couldn't actually play, but we could take her different places. We included her in everything we could possibly include her in. And I could tell that she was soaking it in and learning and growing. And I don't know for sure, but I know that there were some kids that were a few years ahead of her that had started out similarly. I don't know where she ended up. I didn't get to follow the story there. But there's some children that are able to, because she had some neck movement and some eye movement and stuff. So she was able to we were setting her up with this little kind of light poker laser thing so she could learn language and type and pick words and do different things and finding ways to communicate. You know, communication is such a blessing that we oftentimes take for granted. The fact that God wants to communicate with us. Now, I'm not saying this little girl had no communication skills, because like I said, you could look in her eyes and you could communicate in so many different ways just without words. And words are not the most important part of communication, but they're sure a nice way to release some of our thoughts and some of our ideas and to let out some of the things that we want to share. So, speaking the truth in love is a lot of what we talked about last week. And how does that grow the body of Christ? Well, if we try to tell everybody we love you, but we're not able to speak the truth, is that true love? We talked about parenting. You know, it's like, there's something my brother Mark and I have in common. We've got some wonderful parents, had some wonderful parents. And they knew how to speak the truth in love. If they needed us to do something and we weren't cooperating, there were consequences. But I never once thought that they were abusing me or mistreating me. It's like, I'm getting what I deserve because I'm stepping outside of the will of the parents. And when we do that with God and we're stepping outside of His will, you know, the Bible says that He chastens those that He loves. If you're feeling like some things are going wrong in your life and you don't know why, I'm not saying it's necessarily that, but check with Father God and see, is there a message that I'm not getting? Do you need me to turn left and I've been trying to turn right this whole time? I mean, what's going on and how do we fix this relationally so that we can move forward? Because I know when my mind wasn't right and my parents knew it and I knew it, it would break communication. It would break relationship. And to get that fixed, I had to submit to their authority. Part of speaking the truth in love is knowing who you are and who God is. A lot of people are walking through their lives thinking, you know, I don't need God because I can make all my own decisions and I know what's best for me and nobody else can tell me what to do. How many songs? It doesn't matter what generation I did it my way or whatever. I mean, there's all that kind of stuff that you know, the world seems to think we really don't need help. But if we recognize that we do, that I'm a sinner and I'm only saved by the grace of God. He called me. For even long before that, He formed me. I mean, He knew who I was before I was in my mother's womb. He knows me so well that there's nothing I can hide from Him. So as far as truth, He's aware of the truth. When there's a break in truth, it's usually me trying to deny truth. It's because I'm like the little kid in verse 14 of Ephesians 4, that the infant that's just blown here and there. Little kids running along in life and they see something they want and they just go get it, whether it's theirs or not. And there's some adults running around in life and they just see something they want and they just go and get it, whether it's theirs or not. How do we mature? As the body of Christ, if we're being directed with the full measure of who He is and His love, allowing Him to be head in our lives, the corporate us, we're going to be able to mature. We're going to be able to grow. So this week's verse is verse 16. From Him, from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Again, thinking about this little friend of mine that her arms, her legs, her body couldn't do the work that it needed to do. She would have been a more complete version of herself. And I believe, you know, if she gets to go to heaven, I'm certainly hopeful that I get to see her there, that she'll be complete with a full, healthy body that can react and do what it needs to do. As some of us get older, we recognize that there's parts of our body that decide to stop cooperating. Backs, knees, arthritis, whatever it is. And we get into these stages in our life where okay, I used to be able to know how to do that. I got to play soccer in college and you know, I can still feel in my head what it feels like to make that turn and chip the ball in with my left foot and watch the striker take a nice head at it and get a goal. And, you know, it's just, it's all there. It feels great until you get out onto the field and try to do it. And it's like, oh, well, I don't remember it like this. That's part of why I want to just keep walking as long as I can walk. I mean, I want to keep moving. I want to stay as healthy as God allows me to stay. But because there's going to come a time where I can't do that either. But I still got the memories. From Him, the whole body. Okay, now, the whole body of Christ. Joined and held together. You think about your body. You've got all kinds of cells and things going on in there, and if they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, your body's feeling pretty good and it's working. Start out little, and as you're growing, you eat a lot of food like we get to do later today, and it builds you up. And somehow God's created us so that all of that food coming into our bodies turns into what it needs to turn into. And all these cells that need to be wherever they need to be. You know, the stem cells could turn into anything, but they turn into what they need to be, where they are. And if they're cooperating and everything's going right, everything's good, you're growing and you're healthy. That's what God wants for His church. If you've got some cells in your body that are growing the wrong way and growing too much and in the wrong place, what do they call that? Cancer. How many of us have lost loved ones, relatives, friends to cancer? I mean, it's something that it's like, well, if the body would have just cooperated, if those cells would have done their job right. Again, you know, just trying to bring this back. If the body of Christ is the church, you know, visible body of Christ is a church right now, is there any cancer in the church? Sometimes it's painful to fix things that are broken, right? You have to find some pretty aggressive means to take care of that. But it's still in love. That I think it keeps coming back to in love, in love, in love. I want you to, I'm not going to put it on the screen, but I'd like you to turn in your Bibles in the Pew Bible. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, starting with verse 12, it'll be on page 1753. If you brought a different version, it might look a little different, but it's same holy word of God. Those green Bibles with the nice large print for those of us that have the eyes that need a little extra help. 1 Corinthians 12, and starting with verse 12, and this whole concept of the body. Just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. Now, if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers. Let me just stop there for a second. How many of you have recognized that in your physical body? If one part suffers. You know, there's professional football players that can break a little toe and be out for 3 or 4 weeks or more. Because that one part is caused them to not be. Now there's also some that aren't real bright and they can break ribs and wrap them up and go out and play the next day. But I'm just saying, you know, if you're listening to your body, there's something, okay, something happens in your physical body and it gives problems to the rest of your body. Sometimes you just have to work through it, but there's a lot of times where it's like, okay, like, I've got a sore knee right now. I probably wasn't wise to go all the way up to Beckler Peak and back with a sore knee, but it was a beautiful day and I enjoyed it. And I'm having to pay for it a little bit. You know, I have to walk with a little bit more care. And the rest of the body ends up compensating for that sore part while it can, trying to bring it back to health. Can we do that as the body of Christ too? We recognize if one of us is hurting or sore or not quite right, not quite where we need to be, how do we draw them back? You know, I think that the tendency in a lot of people is like, you know, this sinner's got a problem, let's get him out of here. It's like, oh, wait a minute, you just cut off your leg. You might need that later. Let's how about we help that leg heal? Let's cover for one another. The arms maybe have to hang on to some crutches and carry them for a little bit. Whatever it takes. You know, if we love the body of Christ like we love our own bodies, we're going to try to find ways to care for one another. It's a lot of what he's talking about here. Who was following along close enough to tell me which verse I'm in? Round 24, thanks Mark. Maybe a little further than that, but if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. 26 there. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is part of it. When he says you here, he's saying y'all. That's a plural you again. And he's writing to the church in Corinth. And the reason he had to write two letters to the church in Corinth is because they were really messed up. I love that it's the weak parts of the church that help us to grow. Let me just give you a quick rabbit trail, a little bit of an aside. If you're struggling with thinking that you've got it all together and you know everything and you don't need help, find somebody that's really hurting and ask them to tell you what's wrong with you, because they're going to be able to tell you. What we're blind to sometimes, somebody that we think less of, somebody that we think we don't need to get anything from them. Look at how messed up their life is. They couldn't possibly give us any help. Well, guess what? When your life is messed up, you see things differently. And somebody with a messed up life could probably come into this congregation and point out to most of us what we need to fix. Where we're weak, where we're falling apart. That doesn't mean that you do what they're doing. Because obviously their life's messed up, right? We can look at them and tell them their life's messed up, but they can look back at us and say, yeah, but so is yours, just in a different way. Wouldn't it be nice to have all the politicians in the country find a way to get together and look at each other and say, yep, I'm messed up, you're messed up, how can we work together and make this a better world? It's easy for me to point fingers at the politicians, but what about in the church? We can look at one another and we can say, yeah, Brother Mark, you know what all my problems are, don't you? And then you're going to speak the truth in love, because I can't grow if I don't know. If I think that everything's fine when it's not, I can continue on and live a life as a hypocrite and never change. But when people love each other, sometimes it gets ugly. Sometimes there's words spoken. Sometimes there's problems. And yet it's out of love that you work through these things. And the real important part is, as we're speaking the truth, we're doing it in love. Because we can have those times where we're looking right at somebody and we say, hey, you know what? You just messed up. Now, I can approach you in two different ways. I can say, you messed up. Or I can say, you know what? You're acting like I used to act. This is how God worked with me. This is how he helped me get past my anger. This is how he helped me pass my selfishness, if he has. You know what I'm saying? It's like, but again, all of the verses we talked about last week, you know, from Galatians, from Matthew, when you're approaching somebody that's in sin, you got to do it with humility. Part of doing things in love is humbly approaching people and saying, yeah, I could easily fall into that too. How can we help each other? Can we be accountable to one another? Can we lift one another up? Let me continue here. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second, prophets, third, teachers, then miracles, gifts of healing, or of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Do all work miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak in tongues? Do all interpret? In the Greek, it's an emphatic no on every one of those. No one Christian in a body of Christ is going to have all of these gifts. No one Christian is going to do everything. But when it's all of y'all, God's placed them where they belong, just like in a body. Your blood cells are moving around and doing what they need to do. You're breathing in air, you're breathing out carbon, you're getting rid of the waste, you're bringing in the good stuff. There's ways, if all your bodily functions are working properly, there's growth. There's health. But if any part of your body decides, you know, I want to be something that I'm not, you start lacking and losing some of that health. Now, it's interesting here because the Corinthian church had all kinds of problems with spiritual gifts. There were some that were just abusing and misusing them, and they were thinking, you know, this is a good show gift, and I want to show everybody how spiritual I am, and so they were just throwing it out there. And Paul's giving them some correction in the middle of all this. And chapter 12, chapter 14, you know, all of this stuff, it's talking about gifts, it's talking about worship, how do you work together as a body. But right in the middle of it, he throws in chapter 13 here. End of 12, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. If I speak in the tongues of men or of angels, but do not have love, I'm only a resounding gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have the gift of prophecy and can fathom all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have faith that can move mountains, but do not have love, I am nothing. If I give all I possess to the poor and give over my body to hardship that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. Love is patient. Back on the screen there, from him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love. So, church, if we're growing and building ourselves up in love, remember one thing, love is patient. Most of the time, if Kathy and I are having words with one another that are not loving words, one of us has lost patience. Love is kind. Oftentimes when we lose patience, we lose our kindness. It does not envy. It does not boast. So I'm not going to brag about my accomplishments, and I'm not going to be envious of your accomplishments. I'm happy for your accomplishments. That's what love is. As we see people within the body of Christ, Do we acknowledge one another? Do we give honor to one another? It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. So you're having an argument with your spouse or your loved one, and you feel like you're probably losing the argument because you know you're wrong. But you've got this trump card that you can pull out. Well, do you remember back 4 years ago when you... We keep that record of wrongs, don't we? As hard as we try to think that that's not going to be there, but if we're truly in a loving relationship with one another, if we love one another, it's not like, hey, what did you do yesterday? It's, this is today. How can we move forward? Keeps no record of wrongs. And again, I every time I read through this part, I've got to bring you back to James, the half-brother of Jesus. And he says, if you lack wisdom, ask God, and He'll give it to you abundantly. He'll give it to you generously. He's not going to hold back. He keeps no record of wrongs. He gives to you without finding fault. And I can guarantee you, you know, because I've got brothers, it's easy to find fault. And Jesus had every right to go to James and tell him, you know what? Remember that time when I was at that house and was doing some ministry and you and mom and some of the brothers came and you tried to drag me out of there and tell me I was crazy and try to get me home because you were embarrassed by me? Do you remember that? Or do you remember when you were mocking me and telling me go and make yourself seen by the world and, but no. After the resurrection, Jesus and James got together and somehow James got out of that. If you need to know, if you need wisdom, ask God. And He'll give it to you without finding fault. Now, if all of y'all, the church, can keep no record of wrongs, we can move forward easier, can't we? Now, what about with the world around us? It's so easy for us to look around and say, oh, well, look at what they're doing and they're doing. And it's like, okay. Or they should come to church and be like us. Wait a minute. Let's not keep any record of wrongs out with all of y'all out there either, because we don't know which ones of those have been called to come into the body. We could be killing cells before they even had a chance to join us. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. Speaking the truth in love. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. As I look at this verse on the wall, from Christ, the whole body joined and held together. Okay, so we know that the body of Christ is the visible manifestation of God right now. And it's held together by Christ. It's held together by Holy Spirit. It's held together in ways that we can't even always see. Now, thankfully, we can't see everything that's going on in your body either. There's stuff inside that's being done that we don't need to know about. There's parts that you can see and parts that you can't see. And it's like, you know, with the body of Christ. Sometimes we think of the visible ones, the evangelists, the pastors, the teachers, the ones that are up front and all that kind of stuff. And that's not what the body's about. It's everyone doing their part. You know, if I'm doing a good job as a pastor, what I'm doing is training up everyone else so that they can do the works of service. So as this verse continues, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. If my kidneys and all my other organs are functioning properly and doing their work, then I can stand and walk and do the things I need to do. This body of Christ is just like a body. Where are we functioning or not? Are we connected to the head, or has there been some severing in the spine there, and nerves and things aren't working properly? You know, it's remarkable to me. You can take a pin and poke yourself just about anywhere on your body, and you can feel pain or something. You get around heat, you're going to feel something. A cold, you're going to feel something. All of these different nerves and things are important. They're not real visible. As the body of Christ is functioning, it's like, you know, each part doing their work. Each part doing what they're called to do. So if the body of Christ is functioning properly, you're going to know where the painful things are happening. And somehow, God that holds it all together, He's going to send the right people to the right people. He sent Mark back here to Washington State from Alabama for a purpose, for a time, for a season at least. And it's a good thing, you know. Now, some of you know that I asked you to pray for my brother Mark when I didn't even know where he was. He kind of disappeared off the face of the earth for a few months. And I knew it was bad when my sister's calling me and saying, "Have you heard from Mark?" And so I asked some of you to pray for him. Well, here he is. Thank you. You know, God answers prayer. And we all need each other. And there was an emptiness when I didn't know where he was. Do we feel that as a body of Christ? If God's placing somebody on your heart and saying, this is somewhere where you need to put your focus for now. You can do it in prayer, but sometimes all we need to do is pick up the phone, make a call. Somebody that you're thinking of and you just haven't contacted for a while. My difficulty is most of the time when that's happening, it's like 2 a.m. and they're not going to want to hear from me. But I got to remember the next morning when it's later. And I've got to remember where they are in the world and check time zones sometimes too. That can be a problem. But God's going to build His church the way He wants to build it. But we've got to listen and function. And as each part does its work, the body's going to grow. I'm glad that we've got mouths and throats and stomachs and all those things that are going to be necessary to have our bodies do their part when we enjoy a little potluck here. But, you know, just think about that on a spiritual realm. You know, how do we feed ourselves? We want to grow. Let's not just ignore the fact that breathing and eating are kind of important, whether you're talking spiritually or physically. Let me close in prayer. Thank you, Father God, for your word. Thank you for the peace that passes all understanding. We thank you that we can trust that you will answer prayers. We can lean hard into you and just know that you will be God in our lives and we can be the sheep of your pasture. Amen.